الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam. Throughout the world on a daily basis, millions and billions of human beings proceed from their homes and they converge on the centers of commercial enterprise. Behind this essentially is a pursuit of their livelihoods, their energies, time, strength, faculties are expended in acquiring the material things of this world. Unfortunately, majority of us tend to compartmentalize our lives. One is our pursuit of livelihood, one is our pursuit of material gains in this world, which we consider to be there for our dunya, for our worldly life. And the other is that section of our life which pertains to the masjid or which pertains to our ibadat. There the focus and there the goal is our akhirat. I'm making salah so that I get jannat. I'm making tilawat of Quran so that I get jannat. I'm spending in the way of Allah so that I can get jannat. Definitely on ibadat, on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only is this a fundamental and an integral part of our deen and shariat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised akhirat, has promised jannat on this. Without salah, in reality, there is no deen. The delegation of Taif, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told him that we are prepared to accept Islam, but we've got one condition. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, what is your condition? They said, we want to be exempted from salah. Exempt us from salah and we are prepared to become Muslims, we are prepared to become your followers. The mafhum of the hadith, the crux of the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that I cannot accept your condition. There is no compromise. Why? Without salah, there is no deen. An ordinary laborer in a business on a daily basis is paid a wage, is paid a salary, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly. Most of us tend to cut corners. Why? Because that quality of generosity amongst majority of Muslim employers is lacking. So in most instances, we'll pay the minimum stipulated government wages. On the other hand, is that Muslim staff, a Muslim laborer, that person who is paying him a stipend, a wage, weekly or monthly, he now elevates his employer to a status or to a level that that employer can question his conduct. Sometimes when he is late, the employer can scold him for his tardiness, for his lack of punctuality. He can question the sloppy manner in which he is conducting himself or behaving himself. And this Muslim laborer will accept these insults. He will accept these scoldings. He will accept these reprimands. Why? Because this man is paying me a wage. He's paying me my livelihood, so I am indebted to him. What price tag are you going to put on the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah? Just these eyes, by way of example, it is said 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. In each eye, Allah has kept 130 million receptors for light. At the back of the eye there is a tiny hole, the size of which is quarter of a millimeter. Through that hole a cable is passing. This cable has 1.3 million wires. A cable with 1.3 million wires passing through a hole the size quarter of a millimeter without any friction. At the back of the eye is the retina. Each time an image forms, the muscles clench in order to clear the retina so that the next image can fall on it. This clenching of those muscles occurs 100,000 times a day. If the same amount of energy had to be used in your legs, it is the equivalent of walking 80 kilometers a day. These eyes are taking 10 three-dimensional pictures every second, 800,000 pictures every day. This is just one of Allah's ni'mats and bounties. Make someone a millionaire, make him a billionaire, make him a trillionaire. Tell him to go into the marketplace. Throw the millions and billions of dollars at the scientists of the world, at the industrialists of the world, at the technologists of the world. Throw it at anyone. And ask them to manufacture for you one eye. Ask them to give you one eye. Qiyamah will come, they will not be able to manufacture even one eye for you. So what price tag are you going to put on the ni'mat of Allah? That boss or that employer pays you a wage, he tells you to jump, you ask how high. Allah's muazzin calls out 5 times every day, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. One ni'mat of Allah, there is no price tag. Yet that call doesn't bring you to the masjid. This is why my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, normally you ask someone who's a zalim, who's an oppressor, he'll tell you a rapist is an oppressor, a looter is an oppressor, someone who has done someone down is an oppressor. Who is the greatest oppressor? Who is the greatest zalim? Al-jafa, kull al-jafa, zalim sabse bara zalim. The greatest zalim of my ummah is who? Sahaba asked, man ya Rasulullah, who is it? He said, man sami'a an-nida falam yujib, the one who heard the azan and didn't come to the masjid, he is the greatest oppressor. He has made zulm with Allah. He has made zulm with Allah. Coming back to the point we were making, my respected brothers, one is the effort we are making in our ibadat, that is for my jannat. On the other hand, such a substantial part of the life of every human being is spent in the marketplace. It's spent in the working environment. Is this only for our dunya? Is our deen and shariat silent on such a significant part of the life of every human being? No, my respected brothers, it is our weakness that we have compartmentalized our lives. We've got one set of rules for the masjid, another set of rules for the marketplace. Just as salah is a means of earning jannat, and just as zakat is a means of earning jannat, and just as tilawat of Quran is a means of earning jannat, and not fulfilling these commands of Allah, Allah protect us, will take us towards Jahannam in exactly the same way. Your livelihood, according to the commands of Allah, in the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a means of earning jannat. And not just any jannat. The highest jannat, Jannatul Firdaus. Mu'amalat, financial interaction, hukukul ibad, fulfilling the rights of our fellow human beings. This is a fundamental, very, very important aspect of the life of every Muslim. It will earn us jannat. Or on the other hand, Allah protect us, it can earn us Jahannam also. One Sahabi, his hands were lined, emaciated with years of toiling. He was a farmer, he was a laborer. He was working on his own fields. Once Rasulullah is sitting in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ghaliban Sa'ad bin Mu'az, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Ansari Sahabi, majority of the Ansar were farmers by trade. Rasulullah ﷺ looks at the way his hands are lined, picks those hands up, places his Mubarak lips to those hands, kisses the hands of that Sahabi, and he says that the hands of that person who has become lined because of toiling to put halal food in front of his family, Allah has made Jahannam haram on those hands. Allah has made Jahannam haram on those hands. Man amsa kalan bi amali yadayhi amsa maghfuran lahu. O kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a person who worked the entire day in a factory as a laborer, at the end of the day he was tired, he got a wage in return for that in the dunya. What is Allah giving him? What is Allah giving him? Provided it was halal, provided he didn't lie, provided there was amanat dari, amsa maghfuran lahu. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the end of that day, Allah has forgiven all his sins. Allah has made him sinless. Person goes for hajj, he becomes sinless. Person going to work in a factory to earn halal. Look at the mercy of Allah. Look at the shariat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Amsa maghfuran lahu. Allah has forgiven him. In fact, it is mentioned in the riwayat that there are some sins, that there are some sins that are so terrible in the sight of Allah, that are so terrible in the sight of Allah, that it is only the perspiration or the sweat of a laborer earning halal that causes those sins to be forgiven by Allah. التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the truthful, the honest, amanat dar, truthful businessman of my ummah. He's earning, he's doing wepari, he's earning the dunya. His bank balance may be 5, 6, 7 zeros, whatever it may be, no limit. What is the condition? صدوق الأمين, صدوق الأمين. He is truthful. He's amanat dar. He is truthful. He is amanat dar. This is what is lacking. We have compartmentalized our lives. One rule for the masjid, one set of rules. Completely different set of rules for the marketplace. Just as, salah not made in the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will earn you Jahannam and is not salah. In exactly the same way, my respected brothers, Allah protect us, Allah forgive us. Business not done in the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not business in the sight of Allah and will earn us Jahannam. It will earn us Jahannam. Man ba'aiban lam yubayyinhu lam yazal fi maqatillah wa lam tazalil malaikatu tal'anuhu. O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the businessman of my ummah who will sell something without revealing the defect. He will sell something without revealing the defect. What we say? MashaAllah, what a con job you pulled. I pulled wool over his eyes. I struck the deal. We are very happy. Society says, shabash, mashallah, you've achieved something in the court of Allah. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Lam tazalillah. Lam yazal fi maqatillah. He will eternally be in the anger of Allah. He will eternally be in the anger of Allah. And the malaika of Allah will be cursing him. What is a Muslim businessman? Inna atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, There is no earning that is more pure, that is more beloved, that is more honored in the sight of Allah than the earning of a Muslim businessman. That is the most mubarak, most purest money that can ever be. What a Muslim businessman has earned. But what is a Muslim businessman? Sometimes you get upset. Somebody don't make salam to us. Or someone does not acknowledge I'm a Muslim. We get upset. The man says, bye, how am I supposed to know you're a Muslim? He says, don't you know my cell phone number, the 786? There's a 786 in my number, I'm a Muslim. That has become our means of recognition in the sight of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a Muslim businessman. In atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar, the purest earning is the earning of a Muslim businessman. What is the first sign that he is a Muslim businessman? What is the first condition that in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes, he's earning his halal, he's earning his getting him jannat, he's recognized as a businessman in the sight of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alladhina idha haddathu lam yakdhibu. When he speaks, he doesn't lie. Allah forgive us, more than 90% of us already at this first stumbling block will fall away. When he speaks, he doesn't lie. Wa idha wa'adu lam yukhlifu. When he makes a promise, he doesn't break that promise. وَإِذَا أْتُمِنُوا لَمْ يَخُونُوا. When it's a question of amanat dari, trustworthiness, Lam yakunu, he doesn't make khiyanat. All the Islamic societies, go there. Fatwa organizations set up, go there. And today even the blood, today even, Allah protect us, today even, the haram courts of the world go there. Who's fighting? One Muslim fighting another Muslim. One Muslim brother fighting another Muslim brother. Behind it is what? Partnership went off. The deal went off. Promises were not fulfilled. We enter into all sorts of contracts, all sorts of deals. At the time of contracting it, every promise is made. At the time of contracting it, the person is a sheep. When the time comes for delivery, then he becomes a wolf. Ambiguous deals, no clarity whatsoever. Why? Because to us, business is only for dunya. My akhirat is not going to be affected by my business. Allah protect us. This partnership, just even a partnership, is such a mubarak amal. If it is done correctly, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, "Ana." He says, Yaqulullah. Allah says, when two Muslims enter into a partnership, I am their third partner. Ana thalithu sharikain. I am with you. Allah is with you. When you enter into a partnership, what is the condition? Ma lam yakhun ahaduhuma sahibahu. As long as the one is not making khiyanat of the other. As long as the one is not trying to do the other down. Fa idha khana, kharajtu min bainihima. When khiyanat comes in, Allah says, I move out of that transaction. Why? Because Allah is pure, and Allah loves only that which is pure. This culture of promises which are never fulfilled, this culture of lying and cheating, this culture of deception that is reeking in every aspect of our business lives. My respected brothers, behind it is what? Behind it is this greed. Greed for this dunya. It is said of all the Sahaba that narrated hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most ahadith were narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 5,374 ahadith. Second highest narrator of hadith, in excess of 2,200, was Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen. On one occasion she was asked, the second highest narrator of hadith was asked, what is it that you heard my Nabi repeating the most often? What did you hear him repeating the most often? She said, the thing I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeating the most often, لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديان ولن يملأ فاه إلا التراب. What did he repeat the most often? He said that this human being is such, his nature is such, that if he had one valley of gold, he'll want the second one. If he had the second one, he'll want the third one. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? If he doesn't make ilaj, if he doesn't address the sickness of greed, he doesn't address the sickness of chasing and chasing and chasing, لَيَّمْ لَعْفَاهُ إِلَّا turab. Nothing will satisfy him except the sand of the grave, when it will be too late. إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ أَلْقَى فِي رَوْعِي أَنَّ النَّفْسَ لَنْ تَمُوتْ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَى فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ. One hadith, my respected brothers, write it down in gold. And every day, before you walk into that shop, every day, before you go to the marketplace, this is why our elders are saying, sit in the morning mashwara. Take part in the environment of iman in the masjid. Bring the talks of iman and yaqeen. Remind ourselves, this life is temporary. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He didn't say, Jibreel came and told me. What did he say? He says, Jibreel came and blew it into my heart. Alqa fi raw'i. Jibreel blew this into my heart that you cannot die until you do not finish the risk which Allah wrote for you. So fear Allah. Fear Allah in seeking your livelihood. Ajmilu fi talab. And what did he say? He didn't say don't earn. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stop us from? Bagdor. Stop this chasing. Stop this running after your own tail. You can't get more. Ajmilu fi talab. He said, adopt moderation. One of the greatest causes of the iman, of this ummah being sold in the marketplace today, my respected brothers, is this culture of debt. This culture of debt, everything on credit. Even the best deal can be offered. If he's not giving terms, we're not interested. Can be the worst rubbish that is being sold, but give him terms, he's ready to buy. Debt is not something praiseworthy. Allah's Rasul raised his hand in dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa-d-dain. He said, Ya Allah, O Allah, protect me from kufr. Just look at this dua. Logically, when you ask for things, you ask for things on a similar level. You don't ask for gold and dust in the same expression. You'll ask for gold and diamonds in the same expression. You'll seek protection from things of the same level. What is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying? Oh Allah, protect me from kufr. There can be nothing worse than kufr. What is the next thing he asked with kufr? Oh Allah, protect me from kufr and debt. Sahaba was shocked. Ata'adilu al-kufra bid-dain. Ya Rasulullah, are you equating debt with kufr? Are you equating debt with kufr? He said, yes. Yes. One sahabi, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, says, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him advice. He said, Aqil min al-dhunub, yahin alayka al-maut. Make less sins, your maut will be easy for you. Aqil min al-dain, have less debt. Ta'ish hurran, you will live a free man. Have less debt. Debt is not something you're supposed to run towards. Run away from it. Seek protection from it. Ad-dainu rayatullahi fil ard. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, debt is Allah's flag on this earth. When Allah decides to disgrace someone, He puts him in debt. La tukhifu anfusakum ba'da amniha. He said, don't lock yourself up. Don't lock yourself up after Allah freed you. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean? Locking myself up after Allah freed me. He said, involvement in debt. One is necessity that is in his place. We're not talking about necessity. We're talking about this mad, relentless greed and malice for this world. We want more and more and more so that we are living beyond our means. So that we're trying to enter into deals and transactions thinking we're going to lose out. You're not going to lose out. Allah wrote it for you already. Allah wrote it for you already. You cannot lose out. But what are we doing? What are we doing with the cycle of debt? With it is the false promises. With it is the khiyanat. With it is the breaking of our zaban. And what are we really doing? Allah protect us. We are earning Jahannam. Tijarat and business Allah gave you to get the position of Anbiya. Gave you to get the position of Siddiqeen. Gave you to get the position of Shuhada. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the truthful and honest businessman of my ummah. In fact, I'm digressing. One riwayat it comes. In Jannatul Firdaus, the highest Jannat. In Jannatul Firdaus, the highest Jannat. There is another Jannat inside Jannatul Firdaus. One is VIP. One is VIP Jannat. Then you get VVIP. VVIP. Three people, three categories of people will get the VVIP Jannat. One is the category, which person? The awliya. Person who made tahajjud every night, fasted every day, made Allah's ibadah his whole life. Logically, it should be him. But what is one of those three categories? Rasulullah ﷺ said, it is the ordinary laborer of my ummah. He had a lot of children. He had a big family. Instead of eating meat, he had chutney. Now, this is for our layman's terms. Instead of eating wholesome food, he had vegetables. Instead of buying his own house, he lived in rented accommodation. But he never stretched his hand towards haram. His children went hungry, but he stayed on halal. What the awliya will not get, Allah will give that person. Allah will give that person if he stays on halal. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba say, janaza is there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going front. As he goes front, he stops. He stops. Sahabi is janaza. And the one performing the janaza is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stops. Is there any relative of this person? Everyone is silent. And then what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Inna sahibakum hadha hubisa ala babil jannah bidaynin kana alayh. I have seen that the ruh of this person has been prohibited entry into Jannat because of a debt, because of a debt which he had not fulfilled. And then what does he say to Sahaba? فَإِن شِئْتُمْ فَأَسْلِمُوهُ إِذَا عَذَابِ اللَّهِ وَإِن شِئْتُمْ فَفْدُوا. If you want, hand him over to Allah's azab, or if you want, ransom him. One Sahabi stands there, Ya Rasulullah, I will take responsibility for his debt. Then only, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes the janazah salah. In the riwayat it comes, how much was he owing? How much was he owing? Today we eat up the female's inheritance. Today we falsify the documents to steal someone's zameen, someone's land. And we think nothing of it. Hajj and Umrah, building masjids. How many people's haq we've eaten up? Man akhadha shibram min al ard bi ghayri hillihi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you steal one hand span of someone's haq, someone's zameen, someone's land, and it was not halal for you, till the seventh earth, that entire piece of ground, till the seventh earth, will be hung like a necklace around your neck on the day of judgment. La yuqbal minhu sarfun wala adl. Neither your nafil salah nor your farz ibadat will be accepted by Allah till you do not pay back the haq which you took. In one riwayat it comes on the day of judgment, Allah will say to this person, the plaintiff will be there, he stole my money, he lied to me, he deceived me, he stole my zameen, he stole my land. Allah will say, pay him back. This person will say, Ya Allah, I don't have it. How am I going to pay him back? Man kana inda akhihi madhlamatun. Man kana inda akhihi madhlamatun. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have made zulm on anyone, falyatahallalhu minhu al-yawm. Make it halal today. Make it halal today. Whilst you got the chance, a day is coming. La dirham lahu wala mata. There you won't have any money. There you won't be able to make it halal. So Allah will say, pay him back. You will say, Ya Allah, the mafhum of the riwayat, I don't have it. Allah will say, it is in, where is it? Where? Allah will say, go fetch it. Where is it? In Jahannam, there are 7 levels. The lower you go, the worse the azab. Hawiya is the lowest level, in it is the munafiqeen. Then is Jahim, in it is the mushrikeen. Then is Lada, in it is the sabi'een. Then is Saqar, in it is the Majusi, fire worshippers. Then is Hutama, in it is the Jews. Then is Sa'id, in it is the Nasara, and the topmost level of Jahannam, the lightest azab, that name is Jahannam. Ahlul kabair min ummatik, alladhina matu walam yatubu, the perpetrators of major sins of my ummat, who will die without tawbah, they will be in the topmost level. Where will this level, where will this zameen be, where will this rands be, where will this dollars be that he ate up? In Hawiya, in the lowest level of Jahannam. Allah will say, go and fetch it. He will go through the 7 levels of Jahannam till he reaches it. Then he will put it on his back and he will start climbing up. We don't even want to go into the details. Allah protect us. When he reaches right till the top, the angels will push him again and he will fall right down back to Jahannam. Back to Hawiya. He will go back down and this will carry on up and down until Allah wills. Pay it back now. Pay it back now whilst we have the chance. Pay it back now whilst we have the chance. What was the amount that the Sahabi was owing? 2 dinars. 2 dinars. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala who says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting outside Jannatul Baqi. All of a sudden he caught his forehead. And he said, Subhanallah, ma unzila min at-tashdeed. What a weighty command has come from Allah. What a weighty command has come from Allah. فَعَرَفْنَا وَسَكَتْنَا. Sahaba were not like you and I. They got a shock. He says, we were all silenced. We didn't have the guts to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had happened. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ الْغَدْ. One whole day passed. Finally, I mustered the courage. And I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, yesterday you reacted like this. مَتْ تَشْدِيدْ أَلَّذِي أُنزِلْ. What was that weighty hukam that had come? He says, Jibreel came and informed me. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. He said, Jibreel came and informed me, لَوْ قُتِلَ رَجُلٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشْ ثُمَّ قُتِلْ ثُمَّ عَاشْ ثُمَّ قُتِلْ وَمَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, if there is a person who strives in the path of Allah and becomes shaheed, then he's given life, then becomes shaheed. Then he's given life and then becomes shaheed again. And he has left this world having usurped the rights of someone. He was owing somebody something, he had no intention to pay it back. He did someone down, he had no intention to redress that wrong. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2 times shaheed, Allah will not allow him to enter into Jannah. Allah will not allow him to enter into Jannah until that haq is not paid back. What greater example can we have than the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? Sahaba say 5 days remain in his sojourn in this world. He was in Maradul Wafad, he was extremely weak, extremely sick. He requests that he wants to have a bath. There was no tub in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. There was a tub in Hafsa radiallahu anha's house. The tub was sent. Water from the 7 wells of Medina was collected. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bathed in that water. He got a little bit relief, mustered up the strength with the support of Ali bin Abi Talib and Abbas radiallahu anhu, his uncle and nephew, supporting him, holding them by their shoulders. He was carried literally to the masjid. He sat on the minbar. What was the pain in the heart? What was the concern? What was the worry? He addressed his ummah. Sahaba had gathered. What did he say to them? He said, I am a human being. I lived amongst you. I interacted with you. It is possible that inadvertently I hurt someone. It is possible inadvertently I hurt the feelings of someone. Or someone has a right over me that I will not fulfill. Who is saying this? Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is saying this? أنا أول من يحرك حلقة الجنة فيفتح لي فأدخلها ومعي فقراء المؤمنين. I will be the first to knock on the door of Jannah. Jannah will be open for me first. Then the poor ones of my ummah will enter with me in Jannah. That personality, I live with you. Is there anyone amongst you who has a claim over me? Is there anyone amongst you who has a claim over me? Ask for your claim now. Do not ask for it in the hereafter. One sahabi stands up, Ya Rasulullah, you owe me 3 dinars. You owe me 3 dinars. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm not disputing your claim, but jog my memory. In what connection with what? He says, once a beggar came to you, you had nothing, so you asked me to give on your behalf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged the debt. He said to Fazl bin Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that pay the debt on my behalf. And then what did he say? مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٍ مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَرُدَّهُ لَا تَقُلْ فُضُوحُ الدُّنْيَا أَلَا إِنَّ فُضُوحَ الدُّنْيَا أَيْسَرٌ مِنْ فُضُوحِ الْآخِرَةِ. He said, oh my ummah, if you have wronged anyone, address it today. If you have wronged anyone, address it today. Do not become a zalim. Do not become an oppressor. Do not eat up the rights of others. Do not say, I am embarrassed. I am embarrassed. Or society may laugh at me. He said, listen, the disgrace of akhirat is far greater than the disgrace of this dunya. Address your mamla today, 5 days before the demise of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ta'lim was given to this ummah. Tijarat, lendain, muamalat, financial interaction. We have been given a model by the qasam of my Allah. If this ummah would incorporate it, the disbelievers of this world will flock towards Islam. Today they are running away from Islam. Today anyone this Muslim comes into contact with is running away from Islam because we have taken it and put it behind our backs. This was a means Allah wanted to give us the highest Jannah. Allah protect us. Today we are earning Jahannam with it. It's never too late. The doors of Tawbah are open. Now is the time, my respected brothers, address our muamalat. If you have wronged anyone, go to that person. If you have the means, pay it back. If you don't, at least make a promise. At least make an attempt. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make the attempt and you are sincere in that attempt and still you fail, not only will Allah forgive you, Allah will pay back on your behalf. Allah will pay back on your behalf. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhirah.
Syntex CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.